going to be doing this theme of consecration, and I really believe the Lord spoke to me and gave me some things which I'm going to be saying in the next 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know if I'll get to the real heart of the matter today of the main thing that came to me when the Lord gave me this, but I'm going to start, and what we are going to study is drawing near to God. In these times, you need to be as near as you can be to God. Amen. This is not a time to be far away from God, because we are living in perilous times. Perilous times. And the interesting thing about his first coming is, although they knew he was coming, nobody was ready. Nobody was expecting it. And it's the same thing today, that although the world has heard about his coming, again, we're all like the virgins. The wise virgins were also sleeping. Amen. So we're going to study this week consecration. And I called it dressed and anointed next week. And then drawing near. And then pulling down strongholds. And then ready for service. And of course, the focus lesson verse that I chose was James 4:8, which says, draw near or draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And I'm going to try and get through a lot of things today. I won't go over. What is consecration? Well, you can go and look up what the Hebrew word is and the Greek word. And it's related to sanctification, but not quite the same. In many cases, the Hebrew word kadesh is translated as sanctification because they involve the same thing, being set apart. But sanctification only goes so far. And I'll try and give you the slight difference between the two of them, sanctification and consecration, because they're both used sometimes. And it's good to understand. Sanctification means set apart, so does consecration. But consecration goes further than sanctification. And I'll explain. In the Hebrew word, it can mean consecrate, sanctify, prepare, dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be separate. But it has two main purposes, an inward and an outward. And I'm going to explain what I mean by those two parts to consecrate. And you'll see that in the Old Testament, there were two sides to consecration, two parts, and I've called them inward and outward. That's just my terminology. And I'm going to give you 7 reasons why we need consecration. But I'm going to open it up. Anyone can give me a reason why we need to consecrate. Sister Johnny? Absolutely. God will not use something that is profane. He wants exclusive use. He wants you to himself. When it comes to using people, God is very selfish. He does not want to share. That means you have got to be set apart. Think about that. You want to be used by God? Then you have to be set apart. You got to be separate from some things that would profane your use. Anyone else? Philip? To receive his blessing, absolutely. You've got to be consecrated. And I'm going to give the difference between sanctification and consecration. Anyone think of what there could be the difference? I think that's pretty good. I don't think they can.
Because I'm not sure what I'm saying. When something was consecrated to the Lord in the Old Testament.
Be obedient. If you're going to say something, you have to be.
You all pray for me. I'm not feeling submissive this morning.
She hasn't had much sleep.
When something was consecrated in the Old Testament, I mean, sometimes things were actually destroyed for that purpose of consecration. It was actually burned up and destroyed for the purpose of what the Lord wanted it for, and it was totally given to the Lord.
Right. Sanctification sets you apart, but consecration sets you apart and also purifies. Also purifies. That's the main difference. So let's look at, I'm going to go over these seven reasons today why we need consecration. And we'll give you the reason why consecration goes further than sanctification. Consecration, number one reason, prepares you for an unknown or uncertain future. That means you are ready, yet you may not know what's coming. That's one of the reasons we need to be consecrated, is so that we are ready for some unknown thing that we don't know about. If you're not consecrated, you're not going to be ready. Okay? Number two, and this gives you the two things. It prepares you to stand before two beings, God, which I call the inward, and your enemies, which I call the outward. So consecration, and this is very important too, all of these things are very important, prepares you, one, to minister and worship before God, and two, the outward, I call it, prepares you to be able to fight. Sanctification sets you apart, but that's only the beginning. Consecration now takes you a little further. It prepares you to be able to minister, and you'll see in the Old Testament that once one of the things that the priests needed before they could minister, they had to do what? Be consecrated, and there was a procedure. Right. And the difference, too, between most consecration is it was not an instantaneous thing. It took time. It took time. And then, of course, the other reason for consecration is to be able to fight. You are not going to win or be able to stand. And you'll see that in the Old Testament. Before their enemies, Israel always lost when they were not consecrated. So there's an inner and an outer factor to consecration. And you need to have consecration for either of those two things. And that's what I meant by inward and outward. Consecration also purifies your thought process and your motivations. Okay? Sanctification is the start. You separate from a whole bunch of stuff. But if you stop there, you're still not where you need to be. But consecration, if you follow through, purifies your thought process, gets you focused. Consecration also averts God's judgment and brings you into God's presence. And we're going to look at that. So that's four things. Consecration also strengthens you spiritually. It's going to strengthen you spiritually. We're going to look at that too. And consecration is our way to God by the blood of Jesus. And of course, the last thing why we should be studying consecration is that Jesus, our role model, led a consecrated life. Okay, so those are the seven things we're going to study today. And I'm going to give you scripture and focus on those things this week. Now, in the Old Testament, consecration involved anointing. To serve as a priest or to be chosen for any kind of thing, you'll find that there was an anointing that happened. Today, what is our anointing? The Holy Spirit. So there's your first step in consecration. You need to have God's Spirit, the anointing, to be made separate, first of all, and be prepared to be consecrated. Exodus 28:41, and this is the inward use. That means for you to have a relationship, with a deep relationship, that is, with God. You can have a relationship, but to have a really close relationship, you need a consecration. Exodus 28:41, this is God telling Moses how to consecrate the priests. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them. You see that both words are used, that they're not exactly the same thing. Sanctify means to separate, but also consecrate. I didn't put the verse before that, but what he was saying when he says, thou shalt put them upon Aaron, there were some special garments. We've got to get some garments on. There were some consecrated special garments that the priests wore. And when they put them on, that was the part of the road to consecration. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron and thy brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them. That's the oil. And consecrate them and sanctify them, separate them. The priest, once they were consecrated, there was a lot of things they couldn't do, even with family. If someone close member died, they couldn't just go up, go visit the family. They couldn't go near a dead body. They couldn't touch certain things because that would defile them, and then they would be back to square one. And it usually took 7 days. Consecration was a process. We're going to take the month of February. And I'm sure we all probably need more than 7 days. Amen. Because unlike the priests, we got all kinds of other stuff going on. Don't we? I do. I have to really focus on God and try and get my mind off all the other stuff that's going on through my life. The currents, the winds, the stones, the tears, and all the other stuff. To really focus on God and say, God, this month I really need you. I really want to get to the place where I put on a garment of consecration, where I'm drawing near to you, because there's some things coming that if you don't have this, you won't have that inward relationship and you won't have the outward relationship of being able to stand when some things are going to come. Amen? And it says, the reason thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister. In other words, that they may serve. That means if they didn't go through this process, I can't use them. I can't use them. They may think that they're of the tribe of Levi, that they're qualified, but unless they've still gone through this process, that they may minister. That word minister means to serve unto me in the priest's office. So consecration, especially the inward use of it, that means anything in God's service involves the anointing. And I'm going to go about the garments maybe in another lesson, but if you were to look at Exodus 28, you'll see that prior to that they had put on some special garments, stuff that no one else could wear. God has got a garment for you that is simply for you. If he wants to use you, he's got a garment that is going to consecrate you and be involved in the process. That means there is a, you know, when you put on something that has been specially made, you know what they do before they make it? What do they do? That's right. They come and they measure you and so that it is fitted. Someone else trying to put it on, it isn't going to work. It's not going to fit. Do you understand what this process was? These were specially made, custom made for each and every one who was going to serve in the priesthood. That was the first step. And then the oil was poured over them, and a prayer was said to consecrate them. And then they were separated. They couldn't just go amongst as if everything was the same. They had to have a difference in their walk, in their life, in who they related to. That they may minister. Let's look at this inward preparation again, because not only did it involve the priest, but it also involved all of Israel at times. Remember what I said, the inward part of it is so that you can come close to God. That's the first step. Before you do anything else, you've got to have that relationship, that nearness with God, that when you call, he will answer. That when you pray, it's going to happen. See, it wasn't that alderman that did that. It was God. Because she had got those notices plastered, you know, 4 days and be out. The 28th. And the 28th was when his office called and said, forget it, you can buy the house. But God did it. He moved. And if you have that relationship, you can call. And he said, I will answer. Look at this. Before Israel could come near, there had to be a preparation. Exodus 19:10, and the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people, and it's translated sanctify, but in the Hebrew it's kadesh. It's really that word consecrate, which goes beyond just sanctify. It was, in their case, it was a 3-day process. On the third day, I'm going to come down. I'm going to meet you. today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now, you notice that association with garments. Remember what I said before in the first in Exodus 28:40? It was a garment that they put on that was holy and specially tailored for them. In this case, God told them, you're going to have to wash your clothes. Wash the garments. This is part of the consecration. And when you come to church and the word goes forth, you know what it's doing? It's washing your garments. The Bible says by the washing of the word. You've been baptized. That's why when Peter said, well, in that case, you're going to wash my whole. He says, no, I only need to wash your feet because you are already washed. Save but for your feet. And you know what it's speaking about? When we leave here this whole week, we're going to be walking in this world. We're going to hear all kinds of nastiness and filth and foul and stuff. And our feet spiritually are going to get dirty. Because our feet is the ones that's supposed to bring what? The preparation of what? The gospel of peace. So when you come into church and you hear a word, that's washing your feet. And Jesus told Peter, he that washes his feet don't have to wash because you are clean. So we see here that God told them to consecrate their garments and be ready. And this is really symbolic. This is really symbolic because Moses went up. The Bible said that there was a sound of a trumpet blast, right? Moses went up and God came down. This is actually symbolic of the rapture because we are in the third day or about to be in the third day. That's what a lot of people don't understand. For the third day, a day is as of what? 1,000 years. We completed the 2,000th year. Well, depending on how you want to calculate it, because the Jewish year is different. But we are beginning the third day. Do you understand what this scripture is really saying? Be ready. Make sure your garments are washed. Be consecrated, because I'm coming down. And when you hear that trumpet blast, Moses, you can come up. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all and the people upon the mount. See, this was the inward preparation of consecration because here they were going to meet God. They were going to draw near to God. And this is something that we're going to do. You can't just come one day with all the trials and tribulations and then come into church and think somehow stuff is going to happen. There's a process. They had to, when a priest got defiled, it took him 7 days in some cases. Sometimes it was 3 days, but for the high priest, it was 7 days. That's why before the Day of Atonement, he had to lock himself away in the temple because he couldn't take the chance that someone would touch him. Some family member would say, hey, how you doing? And mess him up. And then he could not serve. We have to understand that our Day of Atonement is coming. We can't just let everyone grab us up. We can't let everybody into our circle because they will defile us if we let them. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down. But first, the Lord told him, sanctify, consecrate, Kadesh, today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. This February, we need to do some washing so that we are ready for whatever this year may hold. Whatever. Wouldn't it be great to just be ready so that there's no doubt that you are so close to God that when you pray, it happens? When you pray, it moves? Amen. Now, the next thing I said consecration does is it prepares for an uncertain future when you don't know what's going to happen, but you're ready. But you're ready. Let me show you. In Joshua now, when they were finally come to the River Jordan, we'll see that God instructed them that they had to be ready, they had to consecrate themselves and be ready because they were going over now into a place that they'd never been before. They didn't know what was out there exactly, what was going to happen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Now look at this. Here's that preparation number again. And it came to pass after 3 days, and the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant, of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it. Then he shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that he may know the way by which he must go. For he have not passed this way heretofore. And then what does Joshua say? And it's the same word. It's translated sanctify, but it's the same word, kadesh. In other words, consecrate yourselves. You're facing some things. You don't know what they are. You've got some things coming this year. You don't know what they're going to be. You have no idea. You're crossing over into territory you've not seen before. There may be some unknown things about to hit you. You have no idea. Unless you're consecrated, you're not going to be prepared. For he have not passed this way heretofore. So therefore, sanctify, consecrate yourselves. But here's the reason. If you are, the Lord will do wonders. The Lord will do wonders. He will take the Jordan River at flood stage and do what he did that you heard about 40 years ago. He's going to make it part. And although you're facing an unknown, unseen enemy, you're going to pass over on dry land. Isn't that great? Consecration prepares you for the unknown. When you're close to God and you have that confidence, Scripture says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we, what? Ask. Now, you can only have that confidence if you are consecrated, if you are close, if you have that inward relationship. And if you do, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Wonders. A wonder is something that is completely above and beyond. Not the normal kind of thing, but wonders. In other words, miracles among you. So they had to prepare. They had to renew their covenant. They had to get consecrated. And in the Old Testament, that sign of the covenant was what? What was the sign of the covenant? What was the token in the Old Testament for the covenant? Circumcision. So before they did that, Joshua chapter 5, before now, remember I said that was all the inward preparation. But there's another side of consecration that you absolutely need, or else you're not going to win. To be able to face your enemies, you have to have that outward preparation. So part of the consecration was renewing the covenant. 40 years, there had been male children born and nobody had been circumcised. There had been not a renewal of the original covenant. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And the Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. You know, consecration may be painful. May not be something we look forward to. But it's absolutely necessary before you go and start to march around Jericho. We want the walls to fall down. We want the miracles. Well, then you're going to have to take your time out and prepare. I hope you're listening to me, because we spiritually in this church can grow. We are going to get some, I'm sure, Satan not going to be happy if he sees that there's a church that is growing spiritually. He's going to come against you in all kinds of ways, just as he did with you in that house and slap, you know, eviction notices and say 4 days. You know, that's like the letter I got from the mortgage company saying, you're denied, we're foreclosing. But if the Lord has told you something, forget what man says. Whose report you're going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. I'll believe the report of the Lord. So before they even began to decide they're going to fight Jericho, they had to have a consecration. And this time, it wasn't just staying away from foods. This involves some pain. This involves some pain, some suffering. to renew the covenant. Are you ready for a little suffering, a little sacrifice? If you want Jericho's walls to fall down, then you're going to have to consecrate. Jericho's walls were not some little puny, you know. This would have outdid Donald Trump. Jericho's walls were so wide, 5 chariots could ride on the top. That's why they were so safe. They thought nothing could. These were not like 2-foot walls. These walls were they were like a highway. They were 20 foot wide and miles around the city of Jericho. They felt absolutely secure. But I'm telling you, if you are consecrated and you have that inward and that outward relationship, you've been through what it takes to have that covenant renewed, then it doesn't matter what walls the devil puts up. But if you haven't, forget it. The reason for the outward. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. I don't know if few of you saw that little video I put on Facebook. And it was of a little 2-year-old baby who the mother had prayed with every night. But this evening she couldn't pray with the little baby. But there was a camera, you know, watching the crib. And they heard some noise, and so they started watching the baby. And the baby was praying and saying, bless grandma and bless mommy and bless. And the little baby was praying. I posted it on Facebook. I don't know if any of you saw that. And was saying, only like 2 years old, was praying. And remember grandma and remember mommy and going through the list and was praying. And the scripture came back to me of this event because in Deuteronomy, Moses said, you all, when you came out of Egypt, was still in so much unbelief. You said, you brought our children out here to die. But the funny thing is, it's your children are going to make it through because they had no knowledge. They had just pure faith of good and evil. Jesus wants us to become like little children, be converted. And it was the children that had to renew the vows, the covenant. The male children had to be circumcised to renew that vow, consecration. And once they had done that, verse 9 of Joshua 5, and the Lord said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. The unbelief of your parents, the generational curse is broken. Yes, they didn't believe me after the 10 plagues and the rolling away of the Red Sea. But this day, because you have consecrated yourself, the generational curse of Egypt is broken. Can you imagine how confident they must have been that they could go walking around the wall of Jericho with no armor, no weapons, just the Ark of the Covenant, because God gave them a promise. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. This is the power of consecration, of drawing near to God. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you, listen, whatever curse was in your family, I'm going to break it. I'm going to destroy it. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? You're all so silent today. I'm telling you some good stuff. T.D. Jakes says I'm preaching better than you're amening. Now, I'm not on T.D. Jakes' level, but the word is, God told him, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. He was telling them, listen, the curse I placed on your parents, because now you have consecrated, it's a new day. I've turned the page on that. Wouldn't you like God to turn the page on some things in your past? Amen. To turn the page, it's a new deal. We're starting off fresh. Amen. A new deal. The old deal, your parents messed up, or maybe it was in your past, but because now you have fulfilled the consecration, we're turning the page on that. He said, I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt. So, of course, when God does that, there's a name change. The name of the place is called Gilgal, meaning I've rolled away the reproach. It's a new day. Let's show you what happens, though, if you try and do this without going through this step. Because here's what happened to Israel. They had defeated Jericho. Then they came across this tiny little town that only had a few people called Ai. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted. And this is what my wife was saying. One of the offerings you could give in the Old Testament, and I'm probably pronouncing it, was called Korban. And it meant when something was given to the Lord totally. That means for destruction or for consecration. And all of the spoil of Jericho had been devoted to the Lord. That means it was supposed to go to be making the instruments and the vessels of the tabernacle. It was for the Lord's use. So this is what happens when you take something that's not supposed to be yours and you defile it. And you're not consecrated, and you touch something you're not supposed to. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. He saw a gold bar, and he thought, well, they got enough. There's so much. No one will miss this. And he took some other things, and he hid them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. What has happened now is they had been defiled. And so now they were no longer in that consecrated relationship with God. So now when they came across this little village, Joshua said, well, I'll just send, you know, a few thousand men. I don't have to send the whole army because this is just a small village. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. But the men, because now they were not consecrated, they could not stand before their enemy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to have the inward and the outward. If you want victory in your life, if you want to break some of these generational curses, this month of February, we need to get close to the Lord. And they fled before the men of Ai. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. And they chased the Israelites. Imagine having this great victory, destroying this huge city of Jericho with the 20-foot walls, and now this little village is making them all run. The difference was their consecration. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. Without consecration for the outward to face the enemy and win, you're going to lose. In NIV translations, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted or consecrated things. They have stolen them. And worse, they have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. You wonder why you're not getting victory if you're always getting stuff happen to you? Maybe you need to reconsecrate. Because this is one of the keys. Let me say it again. This is one of the keys to spiritual victory. You cannot go and fight the enemy in any way if you have not drawn near to God. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. It wasn't because they had a great army. It wasn't because they had such a great general. It was because of who was fighting for them. In chapter 5, you see Joshua come up and he meets this warrior. And he says, whose side are you on? And he says, well, I'm on the Lord's side. I am the commander of the Lord's army. If you have the Lord fighting for you, doesn't matter what man is doing. But you notice when Joshua met him, he worshipped, took off his shoes, and worshipped. That is why Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they've been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. There's some things places, people, habits that we keep, and we got hidden and say, well, the Lord doesn't mind that. But that's the reason we're not having victory. We have to get rid of it. Get rid of them, whatever it is. Don't hide it under your tent. Because you'll always be getting the devil beating you up. And then you'll wonder why. And it won't matter if you call me. I won't be able to pray for you. It won't matter if you ask the church to pray for you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm speaking to me too. This word is for me. I'm taking this personally. There's some things I need to make sure that I get rid of or as far as I can. Because I want to be used of God. I don't want to break in that relationship. I don't want the devil to even get one little small victory in my life. Because he's trying. He's trying. He will find a way, if he can, to get to you. To destroy your coat, Sister Audrey. The devil is very clever. Let's give you a New Testament example. How you cannot fight the devil without a certain amount of consecration. And that consecration isn't a matter of instantaneous. Jesus had sent his disciples out and he told them, go heal the sick, cast out devils. But they came across a situation where they couldn't deal with it. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They could not, which is surprising because they had been able other things to do, which tells you so much. There are some situations that are going to need a little bit more consecration, right? Some situations are embedded so deep that just a regular come out not going to work. It's going to take some consecration. And Jesus explained that to them. When Jesus saw the multitude, the people come running together, because they were coming to say, ha-ha, here's something he can't deal with. His disciples couldn't fix it, so let's see if he can. So Jesus put a stop to this real quick. When Jesus saw the people came running, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit was really fighting. It didn't want to come. The spirit cried and rent him. It fought to stay where it was, even though it was Jesus speaking to him, and came out of him and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now, what was the reason why they couldn't do this? I'll tell you what, they needed a little bit more consecration. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately. I'm sure they were a little bit embarrassed. Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, fasting is not instantaneous. It's a time of what? Consecration. Some things in your life are not going to come out by a one-time prayer. You're going to have to do some consecration. This kind, whatever kind it may be, is going to take some circumcision, a little bit of pain, a little bit of sacrifice for the thing to go. But if you want victory, you're going to have to be make up in your mind, this is what it's, whatever this takes, Lord, whatever it takes. Now, the other thing, one of the seven things is, I said, consecration purifies your motivation. Let me deal with that. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are what? Pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, let's look at an example of how consecration can purify your motives. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man, Bible says, was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. He did all he could to be consecrated, to stay with a close relationship with God. But he had some children. Who has some children here? He had some children. And those of you who don't understand and have children, you will. You will. He had some children, though, who weren't quite as consecrated as him. But, you know, as a parent, you're always praying for your children. You're always saying, Lord, please, 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 save them, deliver them. So it was when the days of feasting, these were some party children, had run their course, that Job would send and do what? Sanctify. And the word again is kadesh, consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning. I know my children could hear my wife praying for them early in the morning. And offer burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart, in their motivation, in their mind. And so we see here that his prayer and his consecration was to change their motivation, to purify their motivation. Consecration, when you're focusing on God and you put out all the worldly things, is going to change your focus. You know, most of us right now, I got 100 million things that we are worried about. Right? If I was to write down a list, you could say, well, I got to do this, and there's this bill due there, and then the car needs some major transmission work. We've all got a list of stuff that is competing for our focus. Well, once you start to consecrate, whatever way that is, through fasting, through prayer, where you devote and say, at this time, at this point of the day, I am going to forget everything and I'm going to seek your face, God. It purifies your motivation. I'm trying to hurry. Consecration averts judgment. We see that in the book and the story of Jonah, right? Jonah 3:3. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Here's that three again. Interesting. It's always related to consecration. I'll deal with that on another Bible study. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, here's the greatest revival in the Old Testament. Because these were not even Jews. They were some horrible people. These Assyrians were some vicious people. They had destroyed Israel. In fact, this is probably the reason Jonah never wanted to go and preach any kind of gospel, because he was probably shocked. God, you want me to go preach to them people? Don't you understand? These are enemies of Israel. They have killed thousands. This is to show you the mercy and grace of God, that no soul... He showed Peter that dream where the sheet came down with all the unclean. He said, do not call anything that God has blessed unclean. Jonah didn't want to go and preach to these people. In fact, he was hoping that they would not repent. He was hoping he didn't have to do nothing. I confess I've done that a few times. Just call me if you need something. But really, I'm saying, I hope they don't really call. I'm human. That's my flesh talking. But you know what? If they call, I will respond. Now, don't tell me you all happy to have to do stuff. Our flesh don't want to do stuff. Amen. Jonah didn't really want these people to repent, but God was setting up something here. He was showing how consecration can change God's mind. So the people of Nineveh believed God. What did they do? They proclaimed a fast. These wicked, wicked people, for some reason, they heard the testimony of Jonah. Proclaimed a fast, took off all their finery, shut down the shops, stopped the music, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. This is what consecration will do. It will stop judgment. It will stop destruction. It will change direction. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and by his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Now that was a total fast. Because they heard the word of the prophet that within 40 days they were going to be destroyed. And they decided, you know what? We're going to get consecrated. We're going to change. And there's a whole backstory to this. I've taught that before about who was their prisoner at this time. Anyone remember? Who was their prisoner at this time? Okay. Well, go ahead. Absolutely. You know, humility, I think just what happened moved God so much. Nineveh did get destroyed, but it wasn't that generation. It was 150 years later. God held off judgment till that generation passed because they repented. And there was more going on here because, as I've said, they had a prisoner that the Bible doesn't explicitly line up, but if you work it out, anyone remember who I said they had prisoner at the time? Another very evil person. Manasseh. It just so happens if you look at the timeline of Jonah and Manasseh and Assyria, you'll see that it is very likely that he was the prisoner in Nineveh. And remember what he did. He was probably Israel's most wicked king. Killed the priest, put up. The Bible said that he repented while he was a prisoner. No doubt that's what started God to send Jonah to preach to the whole city. Because you know what happened? When afterwards, they released him. Send him back to Israel and set him back up as king. Now only God can do that. When they had already killed his sons, poked out their eyes and killed all his sons in front of him and had him in chains. Now, what do you think caused them to suddenly turn around if it wasn't this event of God telling destruction's coming to you? This is what consecration, drawing near to God, will do. Whatever the devil has planned, whether it's cancer, whether it's bankruptcy, whether it's death, he can turn it around. And he laid his robe from him, humbled himself, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and fasted. When we draw near to God, God has absolutely promised. It's not if and or buts about it. He will draw near to us. When we humble ourselves in consecration, God is going to answer. It also, as I said, brings God's presence. Joel 2:15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Here's that word again, sanctify. In other words, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. See, consecration diverts, averts judgment, and it brings God's presence. Because the people were mocking them and saying, where is your God? But through repentance and consecration, the presence of the Lord filled the dedication of Solomon's temple. I'm going to try and rush through this. Consecration makes the weak strong. Hebrews 7:23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, speaking of Jesus, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And when you draw near to him, this is what it does. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that do what? That come to God. When you draw near to God, you know what he's able to do? Make your weakness strong. Make your failures victories. Make your curses blessings. Because it says he's able to save to the uttermost. What's beyond the uttermost? Nothing. Nothing. He is able to save to the uttermost them that do what? Come unto God. That means consecrate. Draw near to God. He's able to save to the uttermost whatever situation you're facing. It does not matter. It will not matter. If you are consecrated to God, Romans 8:28 applies. And we know, and we know that all things, amen. Whether it looks bad and the doctor says you got cancer, or they said foreclosure, or they slap an eviction notice, all it is God wants to give you. I called her when I found out the news and I said, okay, so your Lazarus came back to life. They said 4 days, right? Wasn't Lazarus in the grave 4 days? Sunday she got a notice, 4 days eviction, out the house. Five notices slapped around the house. 4 days, her Lazarus, because they'd already kept on saying no. And now you can have a victory report of something that, you still have those letters, don't you? You still have them. You can show people what God can do. What God can do. What God can do. He can save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth. We don't serve a dead God. He's got no tomb that you march around like in Mecca. He's got no mausoleum where there's some bones in there like Buddha. His grave is empty because he ever liveth to be our advocate and high priest. Here's another of my very, very, very favorite verses. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, consecrated. As long as you are on this journey of sanctification, of consecration, God calls you perfect. He loves you. He calls you his beloved. Doesn't matter what the world is saying about you. Doesn't matter what the city tax person is saying about you. He calls you his beloved. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. Forever. Forever is a long time. Amen. I'm going to try and finish. So we need to be a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2:20, and this is what this month is about. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Maybe that's how we are right now. We're just vessels of wood and earth. But if you're in the great house, you don't have to stay that way. If a man therefore purge, and I put in brackets, consecrate himself from these, God will come and take that vessel and he'll gold plate it. If it's a clay, he may remake it. He may put it back on the potter's wheel and refashion it. And you know how they make those beautiful china things? They put them in the fire. And they do it several times. They bring it out, then they put the glaze on it. Then they put it in a hotter fire. Then they bring it out and they paint it. And then they put it back in a hotter fire. But each time it's getting more beautiful. more valuable. By the time it comes out, they put it on a pedestal and they put a rope around it. Don't touch this. It's been through some stuff. It cost a lot to get it to this stage. It's so valuable. It's so beautiful. And they regard it so in great value. Now you may be going some consecration stages, because it says, if a man or woman purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, right? Set apart and meet for the master's use. And prepared, we had that in Ephesians, for every good work. For every good work. I have, and I won't be able to present this, but the next part of this was some of the things that we would like to, well, maybe I'll just run through it because we will hand it out. So in February, we would like some consecration. Who wants to be consecrated? I want to be nearer to God. And this month, we want to really try and focus so that we have that inward relationship so that we can minister, and we have that outward relationship so that we can fight. We're going to need both. 1 Corinthians 8:8 says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But it is an attitude of a heart sincerely seeking him, which is what God responds to. So fasting or staying away, if you're doing it just because pastor said so, doesn't do anything. But it's a way of putting this body under subjection. Fasting really is afflicting the body. It's an afflicting the body. And for some people, it's very hard. For me, it's very hard. It's not easy for me, because that's me. But for some people, like my wife, but I won't say it's easy for her, but she's a real trooper there. Amen. But what I'm going to present is some different fasts. Some maybe just fasting from negativity. Can you go through a whole week without saying anything negative? So we're going to present some things, and I'll give this out Tuesday night. And we're going to present, obviously, the Daniel fast and some other things. I won't go through all of this, but we're going to present a full fast, a gradual fast, the Daniel fast, a three-day fast, a partial fast. But not just to say we've done the fasting. It's become a thing now. That's why I didn't want to do this in January, because it's become a thing now. All the churches do the Daniel fast. Okay, we've done it. Now we can go back to being normal. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. I want us to gain a spiritual step. I don't want after February we go back to, okay, now we can go back to everything as normal. So I don't want it to be just a thing we do on January that just gets us, okay, we did that. Now I've got my righteousness tag, like a Boy Scout tag. I did my Daniel fast this year. No. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it because of the things I just said, that we have some inward relationships with God that we want to draw closer. And we're going to have some fights. We're going to have some fights. And we won't be able to march around Jericho and have the wall fall if we're hiding some of the things like Achan. And we saw today the seven reasons why it's a good thing. Amen. I'll present this fully Tuesday night. I will hand out some things and have you prayerfully consider what in February you'll use as a means of consecration. But we want as a church to draw near to God. And God is going to bless. He is going to give us. The Bible said he will give you the desires of your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added. And I don't have any example but me. All I can tell you is God is just doing miracles at my work for me, because that's not my focus. When I'm at work, sad to say, a lot of times I'm thinking about the church and Bible study and stuff. But God has got some angel covering for me. That's the only way I can explain it. That's the only way I can explain it, that he is just doing some miracles at work for me, because he knows that's not where my focus is. And I'm challenging you. Let's get our inward and our outward set right. Let's stand this morning. I'm sorry I kind of gone over long. But this is our first week. This is our overview into February, and I'll be dealing with a lot of things. God revealed something to me about 2 weeks ago about spiritual warfare that I'm going to present as part of this consecration. That we are going to not let the devil destroy us.